the only worthwhile reason for us being here, and it's worthy of our attention. We're told that wood ducks, when they lay their eggs, they lay one egg a day. Mother lays one egg a day for 12 to 15 days. So there's 12 or 15 eggs, up to 15 days apart, laid there. And when time comes to hatch, they all hatch within minutes of each other. They're laid over a range of up to 15 days, and yet when time comes to hatch, they all hatch within minutes of each other. The parent wood ducks talk to their eggs, cluck and peep and make noise, and somehow they communicate, and it makes a difference for those eggs when they hatch. They all hatch together. The subject this morning is, are you listening? Are you listening? There's a number of different illustrations and ways that we can think about it, but I'd like to, of course, it's most important that we're listening to God, that we're listening to what He has to say to us. Along that line, what does God sound like? What does God's voice sound like to you? And we're not planning to go off in the deep end there, but really, what are you listening for when you listen for God to speak to you? What do you expect to hear? And there's other ways that communication is important for us in our interactions with other people and in our interactions with others, with our peers, with authorities, with in a number of different ways. So we want to touch on a number of those things. We're made with two ears and one mouth. We like to use our mouth. We like to talk. But the Bible says in James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And it's important that we do learn to listen. And listen is more than just hearing. And we'll look at that a bit. It's important that we... Okay, there's several things in that verse. Let every man be swift to hear. It's important that we use our ears, we listen to what is there, that we're slow to speak, and that we're slow to wrath. We're careful with our reactions to what we hear. And we're careful... To me, that last thought about being slow to wrath has to do with controlling how we handle what we hear and how we let our mouth respond to that. A lot of our wrath has to do with what we say as a reaction to what we hear. And but James speaks to that and gives us some food to think about in relation to that. One thing to hear, another thing to listen. Listening is trying to understand what we hear. Trying to understand. Now, along that line, turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. God spoke a lot to his people in the Old Testament. But many times he felt they didn't hear. Sometimes they heard the words, sometimes they heard the message, sometimes the prophets were there speaking, but the people didn't hear in a meaningful way, and didn't listen, didn't respond. Jeremiah 7, verse 21 to 28. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice." I think those first two verses are indicating that their burnt offerings were not meeting his requirement because their lives weren't in order. And he explains as we go on down through here. Starting in verse 23 again. "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, and they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, This is the nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Many times we wonder where God is. We wonder where he's, what he's saying, or if he is talking to us. Well, here he had spoken to them, but they missed it. They didn't respond. They didn't take it as God's voice, or they didn't allow it to have an effect on their life. Were they listening to anything? What were they listening to? Verse 24 talks about the imagination of their evil heart. And they walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart. They listened to what their heart was telling them, and they followed that, and they ignored what God was telling them. They ignored what God was saying. And many, many times through history, many times in the Old Testament, the saints were listening for God to speak, and God did not come and present himself to them as they hoped, as they would have liked. And yet he does speak, and we have his word that speaks to us. We have a better representation of God, possibly, than in some sense anyway, than they did in the Old Testament. But I believe that in the Old Testament, God spoke to them what they needed. He gave them the direction they needed. If they listened to that, if they paid attention to that and followed that, it was enough. But it was easy to disregard. If they listened to their heart, it was easy to turn away and to disregard and to ignore. But it brings out in those verses clearly that because they didn't obey, they didn't follow the message that they heard, God's words were wasted. They were not of any benefit to them. And he was going to talk to them again, but they weren't going to listen. And it wasn't going to have the desired effect. And so it grieved him. But the lesson is for us. What are we doing with what we hear from God? Another interesting verse in relation to that is Zechariah 7:11. You don't need to turn there. But it says this, They refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Some other people heard God speaking. They knew that it was God's voice. But they shut their ears and they turned away. They didn't want to hear. And people can do that today. We can do that today. We can turn away from what God's trying to tell us. But the point of the message is that we don't just hear God's word, that we don't just have God's word in front of us, that we don't just hear his message to us, but that we actually listen to it and allow it to have an effect in our lives. We allow the message to sink into our hearts and to have its effect there. All right, I have about four things that we need to listen to according to the Bible. First one is wisdom. God tells us to listen to wisdom, and we could look all through Proverbs, get many verses on that, but we are to seek to hear what is right. We're to be discerning what we hear, pay attention to what we hear, and figure out, understand, determine what is wisdom. And we're supposed to listen to that. Seek to hear what is right. Proverbs 18:15 says, The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, And the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. The wise person, the prudent person, discerns what he hears, and he listens, he pays attention to what is wisdom, what is wise, what is knowledge, what is true knowledge. He discerns that and can figure that out. Now, turn to 1 Kings 12. Rehoboam was an example of this. And, I mean, as you just bring up that subject of listening to wisdom, it brings up the question, how do you know what is wisdom, and can we know what is wisdom? But I believe if we're honest, we can. And I believe here Rehoboam could have known. I believe it's evident that he could have known how he should have answered. But he followed the wrong counsel. He followed the counsel that pleased his heart and pleased the wrong people, pleased the wrong part of himself. And I believe he could have understood that. He could have known that. 1 Kings 12, Solomon had died, and his son Rehoboam was there to take over, but Jeroboam was the one who was the people followed after to an extent. He was a popular person, but the people came to Rehoboam, or all Israel would come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, Jeroboam was the spokesman for the people. When Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days. Then he came again to me, and the people departed. Then come again to me, and the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old man that stood before Solomon his father, while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto the people this day, and then will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, and we'll stop there. But he faced a choice there of what kind of advice he was going to listen to. And many times we face a choice like that. We can listen to the advice here on this side, or we can listen to the advice on this side. And we can become confused on that. But I think many times it's not as confusing as we'd like to think. And if we really set our heart after it and pray about it, God makes clear what is right and what is wisdom and what's going to take us the right way. Rehoboam could have listened to the wise advice of his father's counselors and of the desire of the people, and he would have been established in a way that he wasn't. Sometimes we know what we are hearing isn't quite right. We know there's something not quite right about it, but we like the way it sounds and we like the advice, so we follow it and we find out that it wasn't what we should have done. Careful to listen to wisdom. Also, be careful to listen to wisdom even as reproof. Proverbs 15:31 says, The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. So when we hear wisdom, even when it's not what we wanted to hear, even when it cuts into our being, it seems, it means that we're going to have to change. We're going to have to do something that we don't want to do. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Listening to wisdom, even when it's reproof to us, is wise. Listen. We like to hear those things and then disregard them, push them out. We are not willing to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that far. But when it's wisdom, we do well to listen to it, to hear it, and to allow it to have its effect in our life. Proverbs 25:12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So it can be kind of two parts there, a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. You can have a wise reprover and have someone that doesn't listen to it, ignores it, pushes it out. But if you get that combination together of a wise reprover, someone with wisdom who is willing to speak out, to give direction even if it's not really wanted, and then you have an obedient ear, someone that's willing to hear that and accept it and make it take effect, that's like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold. Many times wisdom runs carnal to our counter to our carnal nature, or means we need to give up things. When Stephen was stoned there, the people heard things that they didn't want to hear, and it hurt them. It hurt their being, hurt their carnal nature. And hearing his words drove them to do some things they shouldn't have done, drove them to pick up stones and hurl them at him. The last aspect of wisdom, listening to wisdom, is to be careful what is wisdom, to discern what we listen to. Proverbs 15, verse 2, says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So there's counsel across the whole spectrum, and we're responsible to figure out, to discern what is wise and what is foolishness. And we have God's word that we can use to help to decide that, help to determine that. Tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. There is a wide range of counsel. Mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Psalm 37:30. We can probably discern what's wisdom partly by looking at the life of the person giving it. A righteous person will probably speak wisdom. But someone who is foolish, who isn't making it work out in their own life, we need to be a little bit careful what would they have to say, what they are trying to tell us. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, searching, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. We can admonish or encourage each other with wisdom by singing, by speaking to each other and encouraging each other various ways, including songs. Another thing we listen to is needs. In other words, we need to be sensitive to the world around us, and we need to listen for needs. When we talk too much and listen too little, we communicate to others that we think our ideas are more important than theirs, and we miss hearing where they're at and what they're struggling with and what they're dealing with. To serve others, we need to reverse that process, and we need to listen more than we talk. 1 John 3:17 and 18 says this, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion with him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So it talks about loving others by being compassionate to them, hearing their needs, realizing their needs, and helping with them. And Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. We can't help others if we don't listen to what their question is, what their problem is. And so if we're going to be a help to them, if we're going to solve their problem, we need to listen to what their problem is. We need to hear them out. And there again, do we listen or do we just hear? It's easy to be listening to someone and formulating what you're going to think, what you're going to respond, and not really paying attention to what they're saying. But there are needs all around us. Are you listening? Are you able to see them? Do the people you meet have needs? Do you listen to them? Do you pay attention to what they're dealing with and what they're seeing, what they're facing? Third thing we listen to is our authorities: parents, church leaders, civil leaders, employers. Those kind of things. One interesting passage in relation to that is 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. Let's turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. First Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So the apostle here is encouraging them to know the ones that were laboring among them, their church leaders, as we would understand it, and those that admonish you, those that are encouraging you, those that are helping you, to know them which labor among you. How do you learn to know those that labor over you, to know those that are over you, who the people that you're responsible to? We think of different. To know our authorities is to communicate and to listen to them. Many people in a work setting, the boss has told them to do something and they think they know better. They think they understand how it's supposed to be done, and they think they have a plan to do it, so they go ahead and do it. And it's not what the boss had in mind. It's not what he wanted done, or done the way he wanted it done. To know those that labor over us, to know those that are over us, means that we're going to listen to them, and we're going to understand what their purpose is, and we're going to understand their explanation. We're going to endeavor to understand what their purpose is, and to do that to the best of our ability, to help to accomplish that. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Several aspects there, but to another aspect, to disregard what someone says, or to ignore it, or to go against it, doesn't esteem a person, doesn't hold them in honor. To honor someone, to honor our parents, is to obey them. And that takes me to Ephesians 6, 1-3, where it's talking about children. I'll just read that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So it's talking about obeying your parents and honoring them. And those two go together. To honor our parents, it's simple obedience. To listen is to hear and to understand. What better way to indicate that you have heard than to do it? And with children, we can understand it's a pretty simple thing. Simple obedience is what a parent's looking for. It's what will bring them, will please them, and will honor them. But that applies to other authorities too. Simple obedience. If we can simply do what we're asked, that will bring honor to those, and bring honor to God too. The true authority, the final authority in our lives. Another verse in relation to that is Proverbs 6, verses 20-22. is this. Proverbs 6, 20 to 22. You can turn to it if you like. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. I just like the way it makes clear there that to honor and respect parents, it's obedience, but it's long-term obedience, and it's remembering. So many times our children forget what we say. Did you do this? Well, no, I forgot. Well, do we forget? How often do we forget what God tells us to do? Or what authorities tell us to do? But to honor them and to obey them and to listen to them is to remember. It's to remember what we were told. And here in this passage, they went to great lengths to remember, to bind reminders on their body so they wouldn't forget. So they wouldn't forget to honor God. The principle applies to other authorities in our lives, that if we are going to honor them and prove that we've listened to them properly, we're going to remember what they say and follow it in the future, follow it over a period of time. A couple other things quickly. To honor them, we rise. Leviticus 19:32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord." How do you honor an older person? A good practical way to honor an older person is to listen to them, right? To hear, spend some time with them, be with them, and hear what they have to say. Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8 says, "Thou art my hiding place." Listen to how the psalmist describes his listening to God. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." And the primarily thing there I'm looking at is, "I will guide thee with mine eye." In other words, we're watching the person that's talking to us, the person that's giving us direction. Look into the person's face and eyes. To listen is using our ears, but our other senses, if we're looking at someone using our eyes, it helps to communicate that we are paying attention and that we are listening. God has made us that we give someone our attention by looking at them. And we can be listening. Many times we try to tell our children something, and if they're looking away and saying, "Well, did you hear me?" You have to double check if they actually heard what you said. But we can easily communicate that we are listening if we look at the person in their eyes. We look at them. And God wants us to look at Him. He wants us to look into His face. Look up, so that we can hear Him speak. But we do that in a very physical sense to those we're communicating with around us also. Part of the thing of being attentive to God is to be where He speaks to us. His Word is one area that speaks to us, and we listen to that. We listen to that by reading, by spending time there. We listen to God by coming to church and by being where His Word and people are talking about Him, by being where He is present. And we know He's everywhere. He's with us. And yet there's some place that He's promised to be when we meet together to worship Him. And so that's a part of listening to Him. Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous." God is far from the wicked, but He hears us if we have obeyed Him, if we're righteous, if we follow his direction to us. If we listen to him, he'll listen to us. That's what we want. And, yeah, we can go in. I mean, they would tell us many practical ways that we can show our attention to church, in church, or to those we're listening to. If we, many times it's good to sit toward the front. I'm talking about some real practical things. If we sit toward the front where there's less distractions, it helps us to focus, helps us to listen well. Chewing gum or being noisy distracts us and others. Whispering. Another practical thing I've thought of is when someone is giving us direction, authority is working with us and is trying to communicate with us and is telling us to do something. If we can develop an interest in what they want for us to do, it communicates to the one in authority that we are interested and we're hearing what they're saying. We're hearing what we're doing. And as we develop an interest in God's word, as we develop an interest in God's people and God's in worshiping him, it communicates to him that we're thinking about him. It communicates to him that we're listening. And it's also important to respond. When we hear something, to answer back and confirm that we've heard what was said. I like it when my children, we tell them to do something, they say, okay, I'm going to do this. And they repeat back what you said. Sometimes when God speaks to us, it's hard for us to accept. And we don't want to repeat it back like that. We don't want to accept that. And yet, that's what God's looking for. No matter how responsive you were when you listened, when you heard it, if you forget, you weren't listening. Digesting what we hear. Job 12:11 says this, "Doth not thy ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat?" What do we do with what we hear? When we hear things, especially if there are things that we want to listen to, we want to pay attention to, we want to make a part of us, we need to digest them. Hezekiah, when he received a letter from the enemy, received the letter from the messengers, and he read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, and it goes on. But to hear and to digest things, to understand them fully. And sometimes we hear things from others, we take them to God. If we have things, hear things from God that we don't fully understand, we take them to him. And he will help us to understand. It's a biblical basis for taking what we hear to God in prayer. Before we worry, or before we share it with others. And that was Hezekiah's case, before he went and made rash decisions before the whole kingdom, before he spent a lot of time worrying about it himself, he took it to God and he prayed about it. Good thing to do. Another illustration I like was when we're told in the early, about 100 years ago or so, when telegraphs were popular. There was a job opening for someone to operate a telegraph, and several men applied, and they went to the officer, whatever, where it was, and there was a sign there telling them to fill out an application and sit down and wait till they were summoned to enter the inner office. And so there were several men sitting there, but a young man came and wanted to apply, and so he filled out the form and sat down with the others. Before long, the young man stood up and went into the inner room, and the others that were sitting there wondered what was going on. Why? How did he get called in? He came last, and what called him? All right, and I'm not. The office was busy, a lot of noises going on, a lot of conversations, and of course it was a telegraph office, so there was telegraph signals or clicks and beeps happening there. And of course, a couple minutes later, he came back out of the employer's office and had the job, because in the background there, those telegraphs were typing out or clicking out, "If you can understand this, come into my office." And the other ones that were applying for the job didn't pay attention to those telegraph signals, didn't listen to them, decipher them, and didn't hear the summons. But he did. The last man that came in did, and he got the job. But so many times it's like that when God's trying to talk to us. There's so much background noise. There's so many things going on. We're so busy. Take some time and effort to pay attention to those signals and to decipher them and to realize what God's saying. You can't be busy doing a lot of other things and hear God speaking like that. Last point I have is to pay attention to God, or to listen to God. And I have several different concepts or thoughts under this. A couple things that we tend to think about when we think about listening to God that are wrong. We are tempted to think that God only speaks to spiritual giants, or people that are much more experienced or spiritual than we are. But God spoke to Samuel, the little boy in Eli, in the temple there. God spoke to Moses when he was a nobody in the wilderness. He had left it all. He had been trained and been an important man in Egypt, but he had left that all and went out in the wilderness and was there taking care of sheep, and God spoke to him. God came in the burning bush like that. And so God speaks to individuals, and it's not just spiritually, people that are far beyond us spiritually. And yeah, another myth is that God will direct all of our lives by speaking to us. God has given us a lot of direction, and we need to pay attention to that. We don't expect God to give us direction. Many times when we're looking at a decision in life, we need to go back to God's Word. We need to go to what people, spiritually alive people, what the kind of encouragement they have for us. And many times we hear God speaking in those things. We can't look for a clear fleece in every decision of life. God's will, or hearing God speak to us, isn't just a stamp to do whatever we want to do. Many times people start changing, making decisions, and they say that God has spoken to them. God has told them this. And if it's out of line with God's Word, and it's out of line with other scriptural people, we need to be careful. Many times it's used as people are deceived. That idea that God is speaking and we're hearing God is used when people are becoming deceived and they feel that is God's stamp of approval on them. And the fourth myth about God speaking would be that God will speak to us when He wants to. There's not really anything we can do about it. Well, we really need to be silent. We need to listen. We need to give God some chances to speak to us. And there is some things we can do. We need to follow Him. We need to be close to Him. We need to listen to Him so that He will listen to us, so that He can speak to us. First couple verses, 1 Corinthians 14:21, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord." The law was written, and God said he was going to speak to them with different prophets, different languages. He's going to come at them all different ways, and they weren't going to hear it. They weren't going to pay attention. How many different ways does God speak to us? How many different ways has God spoken to you, and have you caught what he's saying? Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So we get close to God. He has promised to speak to us. He has promised to direct us and to give us the direction we need to live. That's what he's promised to do. We need to apply what he says to our heart. In other words, what we hear, we need to put into practice. Ecclesiastes 5:1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. We need to be ready to hear what God has to say, to consider what we think, consider our path, so that we won't do wrong. Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall heal them. God was trying to speak to them, trying to warn them, trying to turn them from their evil way, and they closed their heart, closed their ears, closed their eyes. They wouldn't listen. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to be converted. They didn't want to hear about salvation. Isaiah 51:4 brings out the thought that he will make his judgment. Well, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. God wants to illuminate his people. He wants to show them the way. But we need to listen. Simple obedience. Listening to God is simple obedience, like Noah did. God told him to build a boat, and he went out and built a boat. He went out and did what God told him to do. Didn't pay attention to peer pressure, to other things around him. He simply obeyed, did what God told him to do. And to wait on the Lord. Too many times we're too busy doing things to stop and hear what God is saying. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Proverbs 8:34. And in Luke, when the people were eager to hear, all the people came early in the morning to the temple, to him in the temple, for to hear him. I believe to hear Jesus. Our attentiveness, our eagerness to hear and to listen and to pay attention shows. It's evident. And others can see it. And there are ways that our actions will bear that out. We can measure the effectiveness of our listening by the effect it has on our lives. In other words, what we hear, if we're listening, what we hear will make a difference in our lives. God listens to us. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know God doesn't always answer the way we think he should, but he has promised to hear us. He's promised to hear us and to respond with what's best for us. Psalm 94:9, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? God gave us ears for a reason, and as the one that gave us ears, he has also promised that he will hear us. Many times we go through the motions of listening, and we fail because we really don't hear. We really don't carry it out. We really don't put into effect and allow what we hear to change our lives the way it's supposed to do. God has a lot to say to us. God has a lot to say to us in his word. A lot of direction for our lives. Are we listening? Are we allowing it to change who we are? Let's pray.